You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S-T.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, flying solo one last time this week. I think next week, Vince Samperio of Chevezerine Fiends will be back with me. We'll probably be together next week. This week we've been doing the National League West division crossover preview episodes, and today is our final one of those with Jenna Garcia of Locked On Rockies. So that will be most of this episode, me talking to Jenna. No major news that we need to talk about in the baseball world from Thursday, so other than Clayton Kershaw turning 32 years old, which is always a good day. And, I mean, he only turned 32 once, but his birthday is always a good day because I make birthday cake. So that was fun. But yeah, I think other than that, let's jump right into my conversation with Jenna from Locked On Rockies. All right, Jenna, let's talk about the Dodgers and the Rockies. I'll start first with a question for you. So the Rockies, they went last year 71-91, and the Rockies owner has promised 94 wins this year. But he forgot to do any off-season acquisitions. Do you think Ubaldo Jimenez is going to put up a 23 WAR season to make up that gap?
No, I don't. I definitely don't think Ubaldo Jimenez is going to do it. I think he believes that the position players will do it, right? Or that's his biggest hope, is that they'll come out and play better. I was just talking to my dad about this literally like right before we got on this call, and he's a Dodgers fan, which is... The
smart
worst.
Guy. I like that guy.
So frustrating. We go to the Dodgers series together on his birthday every year. For some reason, they're in town on his birthday, or we go to LA for his birthday. So, but he was saying, you know, how does this guy want the players to perform better when you have the same exact players? And I was trying to explain to him, you know, Monfort really believes that these guys put in the work in the gym. That they were young, they still had development to go. He saw a lot of promise in Ryan McMahon. Trevor Story is clearly just beginning to come into his own. David Dahl is a constant lack of promise, right? He has all this promise in the world, but he continues to get hurt. So there's all these things that I think he viewed as, if this goes right and this goes my way, then it's going to work out for him. And I think that's where he thinks he's going to make up those wins. And obviously their pitching rotation is probably one of the weakest in baseball. I would say more their bullpen than their starters. Their starters are pretty young and they still have a lot to learn and they can a lot of space to improve. But you guys don't know anything about that over in LA, really.
Yeah. When I was looking at the roster, you know, you had put out that tweet the other day about whether the Rockies and Diamondbacks combined could beat the Dodgers. And so I was going through and I put together the teams and I was, you know, obviously I'm familiar with who plays for both teams, but you know, the Rockies have a core offensively that, you know, between Arenado and Story. And like you said, David Dahl has a lot of potential. Even Charlie Blackmon, who I've always considered wildly overrated. That was mostly his defense that I thought was overrated. He can hit.
He can hit.
You know, and so they've got some potential there offensively. But like you said, their pitching staff, it's, do you think that is just the fact that it's impossible to build a pitching staff in Colorado?
No.
Or are they doing something wrong?
I don't know if they're doing something wrong necessarily. I definitely questioned a lot of their moves in game decisions by Bud Black when he would pull out a pitcher, when he would move on to, and who he chose to move on to in certain situations. I question a lot of those decisions last season, but Bud Black's pitched in an MLB game and I haven't. So I got a lot of crap for doing that a little bit from fans and stuff like that. And I understand that he obviously understands the game at a level that I'm never going to, but I think I understand the game at a level that he's never going to too. That's something that I always say about like reporters or people who research something, it's they know so many different facts and they see it from a different point of view. And I think that's just Bud Black and I see it from a different point of view oftentimes. I will say that I think the route to go is to teach your guys to keep the ball down. As long as the ball stays on the ground, when you have Trevor Story, Nolan Arenado, and now Ryan McMahon at second base, you have a great core in the infield to support you. And if you can teach your pitchers to keep the ball on the ground, it's really obviously going to result in you scoring more runs than the other team and winning a baseball game in a series, hopefully. I just think that's the way to go. And that's really the, if you look at like Kyle Freeland, that's his style of pitching. He struggled last year, obviously. John Gray keeps the ball on the ground. Germán Márquez, obviously a power pitcher, but and he probably gets rocked more than the other guys do a little bit more, but he also strikes out more, right? So I do think like that's the direction they're trying to go in. I don't know that not adding pieces to it of players who already know how to do that, they decided to go the hard route and teach all their players how to do that instead of going and getting guys who already do that.
Yeah. I think you pronounced that name wrong, though. I've heard on the Rockies radio, it's Germán Márquez.
Yeah. I'm very close friends with Germán, and I can guarantee you. Yeah.
It's not Germán Márquez?
It's not Germán Márquez. And one guy in the press box calls him Marquise. It's even worse. It's like from Louisiana, Marquise. And I'm like, no. We have to get this right. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. It's not even, I mean, I understand the first name, but you know, Marquez is a pretty, you know, common name if you've ever encountered any
not
Hispanic
too
people.
Like phonetically difficult either. Like, yep. It's pretty reads yeah. how it's written, kind of.
What do you want to know about the Dodgers?
Oh, so
I'm
much.
I'm here to serve you.
I mean, actually, as I was preparing for this segment, I was just thinking like how badly I didn't want to come on and talk to you about how the Rockies are not as good as the Dodgers, because it's just like right in front of your face. Like, it's so easy to see when you read the roster, you read the lineup. And I did this last year with one of my friends in the press box. Every time the Dodgers came into town, I would try to be like, here's who's going to be effective, here's who's going to hit on this pitcher. And he was just like, look at the names on the Dodgers list. Like, it does, these are MVPs, you know, so he's right. I compared all of the infielders, all the position players actually, and combined their WAR to see from 2019 to see, you know, who matched up better. And it's, I mean, the Dodgers win at every position aside from maybe third, shortstop, and second base, I guess. But one thing I want to know is like, what's their weak point? You guys are just the iron fist, the iron blue fist out there. Where's your guys' weakness, I guess?
Yeah, you know, there's a few possible answers to that question. I guess every team's weak point is the fact that anything can happen in baseball.
Right.
And we saw it 2 years ago that the Dodgers that year on paper were a significantly better team than the Rockies too. Mm-hmm. And even performance-wise, you know, if you look at the Pythagorean record and all that stuff, the Dodgers should have won the division easily, and instead it went to game 163. Now, I do think the Dodgers have gotten better since then, and the Rockies have kept the same players, and so they're all 2 years older now. But anything can happen. You know, there are some question marks. The bullpen is a question mark. The starting rotation is even a question mark. But they're not quite the kind of question marks that would give a lot of hope to an opposing team, because it's more along the lines of the question is, how will this work out? Not will this work out.
Right.
And so, you know, there's definitely, I don't think there's a weak spot offensively, even if, I mean, the Dodgers would have to have 4 or 5 injuries in order for them not to be favored to win the division.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break from talking to Jenna. Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale for 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off of Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus body composition scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus body composition scale. And keep it locked on, Dodgers. Okay, it's time for our obscure former Dodger. We're talking about the Rockies today, and so I looked for players who spent their entire career with just the Dodgers and the Rockies, and there are actually only two players who played for the Dodgers and Rockies and nobody else. One of them, Vince has already done as our obscure former Dodger, I believe, Chinwen Cao. And so the other one is our obscure former Dodger of the day. His name is Luke Allen. Luke Allen played for the Dodgers in 2002, and then he played for the Rockies in 2003, and he played more in the minors till 2007, I think. But he just got a total of 11 plate appearances in the big leagues, 9 with the Dodgers in 2002, 2 with the Rockies in 2003, and that was the extent of his major league career. He went 1-for-9 with 2 walks. That's a 4.95 OPS, but he had 1 hit, and that was a double, and I thought I'd tell you a little bit about his double. It happened actually against the Rockies for the Dodgers on September 14, 2002. In the sixth inning, the Dodgers sent 7 hitters to the plate in the sixth inning of this game. All 7 hitters, it was their first at-bat of the game. Mike Kincaid had replaced Eric Karros at first base on defense at the bottom of the fifth. He was the only guy to bat in the top of the sixth who was not a pinch hitter. But it was also his first at-bat because he had just replaced Karros defensively. And so here's how the inning went. Chad Kruder pinch hit for pitcher Odalis Perez. Kruder struck out looking. Kent Merker was the pitcher for the Rockies. Wilken Ruon pinch hit for center fielder Dave Roberts. Wilken Ruon struck out swinging. Good start for Kent Merker in this inning. 2 strikeouts to start the inning. Then Chin Feng Chen pinch hits for Paul Aduca and walks on a full count. Luke Allen pinch hits for right fielder Sean Green. Luke Allen doubles to right field. To left field. Line drive to left field, sending Chin Feng Chen to third base. Jolbert Cabrera, whatever his name was, pinch hits for left fielder Brian Jordan and walks to load the bases. It was a 3-0 pitch. It doesn't say it was an intentional walk, but it seems like, you know, Kent Merker was probably pitching around Jolbert Cabrera, as one does. And then Mike Kincaid comes up to bat and doubles to left field, scoring Chin Feng Chen and Luke Allen, sending Jolbert Cabrera to third. And then Jeff Ribelet pinch hits for third baseman Adrian Beltre and strikes out looking. So good inning, Kent Merker. Struck out 3 batters. Also gave up a couple hits, couple walks, and a couple runs. And that was Luke Allen's only hit in the major leagues. He got robbed of an RBI because Chin Feng Chen wasn't fast enough to score on his double. But whatever. And that was it. So not much else to say about Luke Allen, but I thought that inning was interesting that you had 7 batters in the sixth inning and all of them batting for the first time in the game. Dodgers ended up winning that game 16-3. Todd Zeal pitched the ninth inning for the Rockies, gave up a single to Cesar Asturias, then a double play by Chad Kruder, and then Wilken Ruon struck out swinging on a 2-2 pitch. But anyway, so whatever his name was, Luke Allen was our obscure former Dodger. And now let's get back to my conversation with Jenna about the Rockies. And I guess one other possible ray of hope would be if they do play a shortened season this year, the shorter the series, the smaller the sample size, the more likely it is that the best team won't end up with the best record. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen it several times in the last 7 years that the Dodgers didn't have the best record in the league, you know, in July. And so if we play a season that's only the equivalent of playing through July, then, you know, somebody else could sneak ahead of them or whatever. Yeah, it's hard though. I was telling somebody, if I wasn't a Dodger fan, I would probably really hate the Dodgers because I would be really frustrated that they won 106 games and then went and traded for Mookie Betts.
Right.
It doesn't seem right.
Don't worry, we do hate you, all of the rest of us. We do. I mean, you guys are like, it's Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers. I mean, I don't even consider Chicago like in that same tier of teams that can go out and get whoever they want, basically. So I was going to ask you, too, about the shortened season. Like, I mean, it's just going to – it's hard to answer any questions, really, about the team when you think about a short season, because it does mess with the sample size in baseball and it makes it so more sporadic. Do you still see the Dodgers going ahead to the World Series in a shortened season?
I do. I mean, because the fact is, even if they only play 80 games, they play half a season. I mean, 80 games is still, that's a full NBA season, you know, and obviously basketball and baseball are different sports. And with the pitching rotations, you know, it is your best baseball teams aren't as clearly better than their opponents as your best basketball teams are. No baseball team has ever had the equivalent of a 73 win season or whatever the record in the NBA is. And so that's not going to happen. And so it definitely increases the chances of a different team winning it. But at the end of the day, with the Dodgers, I mean, the projections have the Dodgers winning the division by anywhere between 18 and 25 games. And so I don't think cutting the season in half would be enough to make up that gap. I think there are some seasons where it would be more worrisome, but just the way the National League West is laid out in 2020, it's kind of the best case scenario. If the Dodgers were going to have to deal with a half season, I think 2020 is the year to do it, because the Padres have made strides, but I don't think they're ready to contend yet. Mm-hmm. The Rockies, didn't do anything in the offseason. The Diamondbacks are counting apparently a whole lot on Madison Bumgarner being better than he's ever been, let alone, you know, better than he's been the last 3 years.
Great.
And whoever else is in the division. Oh, the Giants. Yeah. Apparently the Giants still have a team. So I think the National League West is pretty laid out for the Dodgers to be successful regardless of the length of the season this year.
But if they go to a shorter season, you don't think they'll change the playoff structure?
They might, but for me, once they get to the playoffs, I think the shorter season is almost a benefit for the Dodgers, because you've had, you know, the last few years, it's almost like guys have run out of gas. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's Clayton Kershaw, who, you know, I honestly believe his playoff struggles have been overblown. He's pitched really well in the postseason a lot. I think his legacy would be different if the Astros hadn't cheated in 2017.
I mean,
I've now fit that statement into all four of our crossover episodes this week. So check that off my list. I don't think Clayton Kershaw turned 32 today as we're recording this. And I don't think it will be a bad thing for Kershaw to go into the postseason with only, you know, say 80 innings on his belt this season. Right. Justin Turner has a lot of wear and tear on him. Even Cody Bellinger, who's young and spry, has struggled in the postseason, and I wonder how much of it is because of the long season. You know, yeah. And if he's playing center field full time this year, he might benefit from that. So yeah, I think once they win the division, I think the shorter season will only help the Dodgers in the postseason.
Yeah, I could see that potentially. I just think it'd be interesting to see how they cut up the season, if it is half a season or if it ends up being, is that what you've heard most recently, that it's going to be half a season?
You know, I don't think anybody really has any idea. I think all we really can guess right now is that there's no way it's starting before mid-May, and chances are quite a bit later than that. But, you know, you just look at how much different the baseball world was a week ago right now. It was a week ago today as we're recording this that they stopped spring training and delayed the season. And I mean, 2 days before that, we were talking about whether or not media was going to be allowed in the press, in the locker room. You know, so much has changed. And so I don't see much point trying to guess right now, because the world is evolving so quickly. But I would guess 100 games would be a best case scenario, like the most they could possibly get in this year.
Yeah. I would think the shortened season comes in favor a little bit for the Yankees, you know, because they have so many injuries right now. They get the time to rest, and they'll be ready for you guys in that postseason.
Yeah, the Yankees would definitely benefit from it with, I mean, obviously Severino's going to be out the whole season anyway, but whatever's wrong with James Paxton, maybe he'll be cleared up. You know, Judge and Stanton have the little nicks and bruises and whatever. And so who knows? But yeah, it definitely won't hurt them. I also think the Twins, you know, they signed Rich Hill expecting half a season from him, and they might get, you know, a half a season that is the whole season from him, you know. And so, and they're a very good offensive team, and so they might not, they were planning on kind of scrambling a little bit for starting pitching the first half of the season, and that might help them. So yeah, it's the Dodgers definitely aren't alone in benefiting from the shorter season.
Yeah.
But I do think it would help them. Let me ask you a question. So obviously you're not going into the 2020 season super optimistic about the Rockies' chances of success this season. But tell me what you're looking forward to in watching the Rockies. You know, it's not all about wins and losses. Obviously you'd love to have a team that could win the division every year. Believe me, it's nice. Yeah. but what are you looking forward to as a Rocky fan and a Rocky talkabouter? Who are you looking forward to seeing?
You know, honestly, I'm really excited to see David Dahl play a whole season. I'm really excited to see David Dahl. I've also been on the bandwagon of Elias Diaz, who's the backup catcher. Looks like they'll probably bring him up as the backup catcher, or at least it did a week ago. I don't, you know, know where things are now, but he was rocking. He was hitting balls out of the park in spring training, which the Rockies finished ahead of the Dodgers in spring training, by the way, just so you know. Or are reminded.
Did those games start counting? I don't remember.
No, they don't. I just want them to so badly so we could like beat you at something.
Yeah.
No, but I am excited for David Dahl probably. Obviously the shortened season for the Rockies has me optimistic about the Nolan Arenado situation. Nolan obviously talking about how he felt disrespected over the summer, coming out with a couple statements. I did reach out to a few of his family members who chose not to have comments at that time. But I honestly think that this helps Nolan stay with the Rockies because it's half a year. What's he going to do on another team for half a year? I think they proved to him in spring training that they could get on base. They've all really improved at their at-bats. And I think that's what he wanted to see, was that they could produce offense so that he could hit them home. And I think he saw that in spring training. And I think he was pleased with that at the very least. I think he genuinely wants to be in Colorado. I think he likes it here. I think he enjoys playing in Colorado. And I just think this will give him a chance to reflect a little bit. And obviously no trades or anything going down during this time. So it'll be a chance for him to stay a whole season with the Rockies. So I'm optimistic about that as well.
Do you think Sam Hilliard's going to hit 500 homers?
I wish. I don't think he'll hit 500. But he seems like, I mean, the kid can slug for sure. He struggled a little bit with his at-bats. And obviously he has a lot of like stuff going on in his personal life. His dad, I believe, is quite ill. But and I'm not sure how much that affected his game in spring training, but he was hitting nice in spring training. He obviously had a pretty small sample size spring training and small sample size at the end of last season where he was batting pretty well too. So I'm excited to see him play, but I think I'm more excited for David Dahl just because there was so much anticipation and he was like just getting there last season when he got hurt again and it just sucked. And then of course it's been that way with David from the beginning of time. So I'd really like to see what he can do, you know, and maybe help out that outfield because defensively that outfield's pretty weak. And I think he's probably got the best arm out there. What about you? What for the Dodgers? What is there to look forward to aside from probably losing in the World Series again?
Yeah. You know, I'm excited to see Gavin Lux over a full season. He has a lot of confidence and, you know, even though his numbers weren't eye popping in his short stint last year, I think he showed that he can really hit. He can play good defense. A full season of Gavin Lux has me really excited. Obviously, seeing Mookie Betts in Dodger blue. I don't know if you noticed this, but everybody looks better in Dodger blue. Like Nolan Arenado is going to look really good in Dodger blue in a year or two.
No, I think he'll look terrible in blue. It won't go with his eye color at all.
Everything goes with Nolan Arenado's eyes. Yeah, so I'm excited to see Lux and Mookie. Obviously, Walker Buehler, a full season of him and just, you know, he's kind of at that age now. You know, Buehler isn't as young as a lot of guys with his level of experience. Just, I mean, he pitched in college and then had Tommy John surgery. So he's at that age where he should be basically in his prime right now. And I think he has the experience level now that he's going to have a great season. And then, you know, the other thing I'm excited to see is the pitchers who all went to Driveline this offseason. You know, Clayton Kershaw, Kenley Jansen, Joe Kelly, and Alex Wood, they all spent time at Driveline. And we definitely saw some results in spring training. You know, obviously the results don't matter, but, you know, looking at Kenley Jansen's actual pitches, he looked really good. Clayton Kershaw seemed to have picked up a tick or two on the radar gun that he had lost. And so, you know, if Kershaw can get back to throwing low 90s instead of high 80s, with his slider and his curveball, he could be back to being one of the best pitchers in baseball. Yeah. And so some of that stuff I'm excited to see. It's, you know, just kind of the fringe stuff, because it's almost, you know, we know the Dodgers are going to win about 100 games, but I'm interested to see how it happens and who steps up and who the guys are. You know, last year at this time, hardly anybody had heard of Matt Beattie, and then Matt Beattie played a big role on the team. The year before that, nobody had heard of Max Muncy. And then he's hit 70 home runs the last 2 years. And so I'm excited to see what the player development pipeline pumps out for 2020 for the Dodgers to who's going to come in and say, oh, I never heard of that guy. I guess he's going to hit 30 homers now.
I can never say I've never heard of that guy. I've heard of all of your guys. They all rock us every single time. And I'm sitting there watching every single one. I haven't missed a Dodgers series in Colorado since like 2017. Every single one, not because of I want to be there, mostly because I want to cheer against you guys. I want to be there, but my dad wants to be there. So
yeah, well, I like your dad. He seems like a smart guy. You know, the best thing about being at Coors Field for a Rockies game is not having to hear Drew Goodman.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I'm always there, so I never get to hear Goodman. But
yeah, that's kind of my dream world. It is a nice stadium. It's a very nice stadium.
I say we win. I think that's one thing we beat you guys at. Nicer stadium.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Nicer views, great sunsets.
Including a perfect view of the sun if you're sitting on the first base side.
Do you not like to tan?
That angle's a little bit weird. And, you know, Coors Field is a beautiful stadium. It doesn't have the history of Dodger Stadium. And it, you know. I'm biased. I've been to 32 major league stadiums, and if you take Dodger Stadium out because of the bias, Coors Field is definitely top five for me.
I appreciate it. We're not top five with the bias. What are your top five stadiums?
If you take out Dodger Stadium, you know, so judging the other 31 that I've been to, Coors Field is top five.
What are the other ones?
You know, Pittsburgh's great. San Francisco, other than the garbage team that plays there, it's a beautiful stadium. I loved Fenway, but I need to go to Fenway and sit in other seats, because the one time I went to a game at Fenway, I actually got hooked up with nice, you know, I was sitting like two seats over from John Kerry's season seats and four seats over from Mitt Romney's seats, you know. Whoa. So I was sitting with the rich people. Yeah. And So I don't know what the stadium's like for the regular people, but I sure did like it where I was sitting. okay. But yeah, there's a lot of nice stadiums. There's only, I mean, even the worst stadiums, you know, you walk into Oakland, and as you're walking in, you feel like you're walking into prison, barbed wire fences and everything. But then you get inside and you're like, oh, they're playing baseball here. This is one of the 30 greatest places on earth.
Yeah, so, no, Oakland's one of my favorites, actually. I just like the vibe of the people. Like, they were there. They're there to cheer and like to dig. They were like looking up information about the pitchers. I was there for Jeter's last game in Oakland, and they're like sitting right there on the, because the pitcher warms up right in front of the fans. And so, they were like talking shit about his wife. And I was like, whoa, these are real fans. I've never experienced this, because we don't. In Colorado, we're nice. We don't talk like that, you know, unless the Dodgers
nice,
are
nice, I guess,
town.
Is one word for it. So, how many stadiums have you been to?
Actually, my sister bought me for Christmas, like, a poster where you could scratch off when you go to each stadium. Yeah. It's super cute. But I haven't opened it yet or filled it out. So, I know I've been to Oakland, San Francisco, Fenway, New Yankee Stadium, Old Cub, Old Wrigley, Diamondbacks, Coors, obviously. And, oh, both LA teams, Angels and Dodgers.
There's only one LA team.
There's two LA teams. Actually, I think I like the other LA team much, much more.
The Anaheim team?
Red looks so pretty on everybody.
Yeah, red's fine. You know, it's not quite Dodger blue, but I think they're both better than purple, I guess. Okay. You know,
first of all, the all other right, two now colors we're just are black personal. And white. Those go with everything.
Yeah, black. Yeah, the Rockies. You know, all things considered, black and white is not bad. Nolan Arenado does look good in black and white. His black hair, his eye black. You know, he's he looks good in black and white, almost as good as he will look in Dodger blue in a couple of years. So.
Won't happen.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Okay, we'll have to make a bet on it.
Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
Nope, good.
All right, I think I'm looking forward to the season. You know, even though the Dodgers are probably going to be better than the Rockies this year, the Rockies always seem to put up a good fight, and find, even if it's just their stadium making me want to swear, something about it will be awesome for the season series. And
don't sleep on the Rockies. Don't sleep on the Rockies. They have talent. Yeah, I mean,
somehow they're getting 23 wins over last year. So
I didn't say that.
It'll be fun.
I didn't say that.
Somebody did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jenna, it's been fun talking to you, and let's do it again. I think that will do it for today. Thank you, Jenna, for talking Rockies. Thank you all for being here this week for our National League West crossover episodes. Got some good information about all the other teams in the National League West. I think the consensus is that it should be a good season for the Dodgers if the season actually happens. Vince and I should be back next week together. We're still working on plans for things to talk about, but we will definitely have some entertaining episodes for you while we're waiting for baseball to get started back up again, which we don't know when that will happen. Next week will be our one-year anniversary of starting this podcast. As you know, Vince and I did the Scully Avenue podcast for nearly 3 years before this, but March 25th will mark the one-year anniversary of the first episode of Locked On Dodgers. So that's exciting. We may officially go into season two of this podcast at that point. I don't know. Who knows what we'll do. But you can trust that Vince and I will be back on Monday to talk to you about the Dodgers in one form or another. Please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, go ahead and subscribe there. It will help other people find us. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. You can email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Imperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. You can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning. We hope you will be here with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. And now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB. We'll talk to you later.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!